if Lance can't go, I mean, Kenny Stills, I mean, I know you guys feel confident in him, but it seems like he's kind
of... We've had a lot of guys, and we had a chance during the preseason to get a lot of guys repetition. So, we'll be ready if he can or if he can't. You know, I think it's one of the areas that with the younger players, we were able to give them a lot of reps. So, you know, we'll see how this goes as the week progresses.
When you first had a chance to meet with Jimmy Graham and maybe talk to him about last year, did you have any specific advice about how to handle this year? Because he kind of had a down year, but I know he had a hurt wrist. And
I don't think there was anything specific other than just getting ready to get started in the offseason. He's a tremendous worker. You know, he really wants to please, and it's important to him, along with the skill set and the physical ability. Those are all, like, great combinations. So, there wasn't any magical meeting or sit-down. It was him getting healthy and then, getting ready for a good off-season and the work that he puts in, and which is a credit to him. He works. He goes really hard. I mean, a day like today on third down, he's getting a lot of reps, and he handles that well. He's in good shape. He's in very good shape.
When you see the production that he's had the last 2 weeks in the first 2011, is there a part of you that you look back at draft day and say, "I knew it," or "I told you so"?
That would be that might happen occasionally, but it wouldn't be the case with Jimmy. To our scouts' credit, when you're looking at a player's workout and they're reading the player, there's a series of readings, and they're reading the player who's just played his senior year, was a basketball player. There's a part of you as a coach that's skeptical at first just because of the experience or maybe the lack of playing time. And after seeing the workout, we spent some more time, on the read, and then the area scout had a strong conviction for his ability and his work ethic and does he want to be a football player, all those things. But it's a challenging process. I don't know that regardless of where you select a player that you say, "I knew it." They come in as rookies and you're hoping to see what you drafted and what you thought was what you were going to get in the player. And that always, starts with that first exposure and rookie mini camp. And then gradually it's confirmed, or maybe it's not sometimes. So I know it's easy after the fact to say that, but, obviously with each selection you make, you have some conviction and some of them never play or never play to the level that you were hoping.
When did your skepticism start to fade?
It wasn't so much skepticism. It was just in the process. So during the evaluation, it was within that time frame of the meeting, your first exposure, you're looking at the film, and then, you're hearing the people that have seen him on campus and have seen the workout. As a head coach or general managers, some of us don't get that same exposure. And to the scouts who evaluate players, what you really look forward to is a strong opinion, because then you get a feel for what he likes. And so it was during that period of the meeting that might have been, we might spend 30 minutes on a player maybe where he was graded. So I think we had him graded in that in that round, maybe in the second, and we took him in the third, correct? Yeah, so I do remember 30 seconds after the selection, getting a phone call from Parcells and him saying, I think they were sitting somewhere after us. I can't recall the exact number, but you could tell that was someone he had targeted, and that makes you feel good rather than him saying, would you take him for? But to Jimmy's credit, he's come in and his transition has been fairly quick with maybe the lack of experience that that he, you know, a lot of players would have in college.
He's obviously a self-starter, but how much of his development can be attributed to, you know, Jeremy Shockey, David Thomas, Benjamin Wilson, three very veteran and different?
I think, you know, all there are a lot of things that factor in. You know, you start with what the player wants and his willingness to work and attention to detail, and then it's very important for the room to be players that give this young player a vision, no different than it's very important for a guy like Drew to be involved in his development. And, you know, it's hard to be one of these players in this offense and not have to work at the pace, you know, Drew's working at, you know. And so the position coach, there was just a lot of things that evolved, and or a lot of things that took place that were important to his development, and, you know, starting with the player himself.
It's funny, everyone talks about how this is a 3-4 defense, and yet the vast majority of the time it's been four-man fronts. I mean, and it's been successful. I mean, how, what kind of...
A lot of it's dictated on the personnel that the opponent's sending out on the field. You know, every one of these teams that are a 34 base will play a lot of four-man nickel fronts to passing sets. So a lot of it's dictated on the personnel that you see offensively. So you have your odd package. You have some even looks up. You combine them and then decide how you want to deploy them each week. And it might vary. Some people like to run the ball in some of those nickel looks. Other people, you know, prefer to throw the football, and so, you know, there's always that flexibility. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you might sit in that odd look and still play, you know, a pro set or a slot set. You didn't get the diversity in personnel groupings you have now, and so you didn't have as many sub-personnel defenses. You know, you had a few, and so that's kind of evolved.
Does some of it maybe go into where you guys got so banged up at outside linebacker so early that figured maybe
we had to prepare to try to get our best people on the field as well. So, you know, some of that's a three safety look, and you know, we had to be somewhat flexible with the health of our players, but also with what we were going to see.
The Dolphins are near the bottom of the league in rushing. You're not ranked very high. Is that sort of the way the league has evolved?
I don't know that that's the case. I would say this. I think, number one, these statistical rankings after week three are like, you know, your English grade after your first quiz. You know, we got a lot ahead of us that I'm sure Miami, just as well as New Orleans, hopes to improve on in those areas. I think being plus in the turnover takeaway department has been important. The third down numbers have been important. You know, there's been a handful of reasons that you're able to win games, and yet it's important to recognize, hey, this is our record, but man, there's a lot of things that we've got to get better at. And I think that is the most important mindset the player has to have, you know, that we're not by any means a finished product. We've got a lot to work on. So I don't think that's every year that is that the way. Certainly the rules have adjusted to benefit elements of the passing game. And yet, you know, you watch a game or you see the film of a game last night where, you know, San Francisco did a great job rushing the football. And when you're able to do that, you control the game. And that's important.
Is such a small sample size after the game. Are you concerned with the running game?
I'm concerned always. You know, as a head coach, you're always concerned. You know, you wake up in the morning concerned. You go home at night concerned. You know, that's part of being a teacher. You know, so that, you know, I'm not an alarmist, but you're always looking at, hey, what are the areas we need to improve on in all of your phases.
Sean, the full team's off to good starts, and you've got this mix of young players and old players on both sides. What role at this level does confidence play when you've had a good start like each of these teams have had?
I think in one specific area, when you're able to come from behind Miami did it last week against Atlanta in a late drive and score and win. You know, a couple weeks ago at Tampa Bay, it's easy to point to a few years and say, well, the two-minute offense and the team's always been able to rally from behind. But, you know, this is a different team. This is, you know, I said this the other day, you know, there's a lot of players here that are, you think may have a message or might understand a certain history, and yet it's new. So I think that's something that's slowly built favorably or not favorably throughout the course of a season. So after 3 weeks, you know, to have a game where you're able to come from behind and win and you're able to make a play on defense or turn the ball over. Miami's been very good, very opportunistic at getting takeaways. You know, regardless of the department we're talking about, it could be a return unit. You can begin to build that confidence and then repeat that behavior based on the outcome.
Sean, who was the area scout that was in
it? I don't want to give you a wrong name, so okay. Thank you.
Thanks.